This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name is Tom Ward, and I'm joined this evening by Andrew.
All right, Tom, mate, how are you?
Evening, mate, not too bad. And also joined by Dean.
Hey, chaps, how's it going?
Yep, not too bad, mate. Another action-packed week for the Sky Blues as we took on Middlesbrough away from home on Tuesday, followed up by another game under the lights at St Andrews against top-of-the-table Reading. We'll look back at the action from the two fixtures and we'll also give you a preview of the upcoming games against Forest and Watford. Evening, chaps. How are we feeling after this week's results? I'll go to you first, Dean.
The word I'd use to describe this week is relieved, I think, after Friday night. There was a bit of pressure on there, wasn't it, after the performance midweek and the couple of games beforehand as well. So it was a much needed positive result and a positive performance on Friday night. And I'm sure we'll go into a bit more detail later on. But yeah, very relieved with the week's work in the end.
Yeah, definitely. After sort of a few losses, it's good to claw your way out. Probably not expected to, but we managed to do it, which is brilliant. How are you feeling, Andy, about the results?
Yeah, buzzing after Tuesday's fall, shall we say. But no, it was a really good response by the Sky Blues, and like Dean just said, much needed. But he predicted it, didn't you, Dino? It was all in the stars for you, wasn't it, mate?
I'm like Mystic Meg.
Yeah.
You're like the black wig.
Yeah, and I don't know the lottery numbers, so please nobody tweet me with the lottery numbers, because if I did, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah,
I'll be running the show. CCL help.
Yeah, so the Sky Blues obviously fell to a 2-0 defeat on Tuesday away at Middlesbrough. We won't dwell on the game for too long because I'm sure our listeners are probably more excited to hear about Friday, and I'm sure we're all excited to talk about it. But just to sort of talk about that game in a little bit more detail, how did the stats look for that one, Andy?
Not great, Tom, to be honest with you, mate. Possession was 47% to us. We only had 3 shots compared to their 17. And we, you know, 376 attempted passes compared to their 428, which shows that they outpassed us as well. We won a few more duels than them. We won 63 compared to their 49. But again, the possession losses was 171, which is fairly high.
Yeah, some worrying figures in there, especially the attempts. Really struggling to create chances, weren't we?
We were, and it, you know, mainly to do with Godden being isolated again, but we certainly put that right with the change of formation on Friday, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And Dean, what did you think of the team selection by Mark Robbins? Obviously, he was forced into one change, but also had the option of bringing Hammer back in from suspension.
Yeah, it's good to see Hammer, and we kind of missed in the last few games with a bit of creativity in the middle of the park and a bit of bite as well. So it was good to see him back in the fold. I was a little bit surprised not to see Kelly there, I must be honest, because we go on it about it all the time, but we are better side when Liam Kelly's in the team, that's for sure. We started with Alan a little bit deeper into the midfield, but as time went on, like Andy said, we were just isolated at the top half of the pitch, and we just kept getting pegged back, and it was just odd. So yeah, I mean, the selection is what it is. There's not much he could do to change it other than add another person in the middle of the park, which he did on Friday. So
yeah, absolutely. And with Kelly, do you think is he just trying to not be too over reliant on Kelly? Because obviously we've talked about, you know, the amount of games we're playing, it's just constant, isn't it, at the moment? Is he just trying to be a bit careful with Kelly and not kind of overplay him and rely on him, I suppose?
I think so, but I get the feeling he doesn't think he can play Sheaf and Kelly in the same team. And I think he's just going to pick Sheaf at the moment just because he offers a little bit more going forward, and we're lacking stuff going forward at the moment. So maybe that's his thinking. And of course, obviously, we've got game after game. I think it was, 7 games in 23 days
we were
playing?
Yeah, it's relentless, isn't it?
So, you know, Liam Kelly isn't, like Carl McFadzean, isn't going to be able to play all those games back to back to back, especially with his injury record recently. So maybe he's holding him back. And maybe he's holding it back for Reading. But obviously he didn't appear versus Reading either. Yeah. So is there something else there? I'm not sure. Robbins hasn't said much about it, has he really? So, but we have to trust the guy and trust he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, definitely. And what did you make of the early exchanges at the Riverside, Andy?
Not very much, Tom, to be honest, mate. Wasn't particularly great. from both sides, really. I don't think I know they had a lot more shots than us, but they didn't create.
Nah, not you know, clear Morosi cut, were they?
No, they weren't. They had one over across the box that Morosi fumbled, didn't they? But seemed to get away with that. But they didn't have too much apart from that. So apart from that, no, it was, you know, they were more in the ascendancy, definitely. But we certainly weren't getting outplayed. But no, apart from the Morosi fumble, there wasn't much to really add, really.
Yeah, there was that one, and there was that one as well where it came across the box. I think Morosi might have hurt his hand there as well.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, Tom.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no clear-cut chances in that first half, Dean, were there, really?
No, and to be fair to the Sky Blues, I thought defensively our shape looked pretty good during that first half. And any sort of attack that Middlesbrough had, we sort of stifled it out quite quickly, which was a positive. But then the transition from that defence to attack mode was pretty much awful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, it put us under the cosh for large periods during that first half. Okay, they didn't create much, but sort of being on the back foot isn't going to be, you know, too positive on the team overall. And it obviously didn't work out for the rest of the game like that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because a more creative team in that first half might have taken the lead. But we got to half-time at 0-0 nonetheless. Came out second half and we seemed to grow into the game a bit more, didn't we, Andy?
Yeah, we did. We came out better. Obviously, Robbins must have had a word with them, because obviously he must have not been too impressed with them at half time, so we would have had strong words with them. And we did come out a little bit more on the front foot. Again, not creating a great deal, did we? But there was a bit more show of intent, shall we say, than the first half, Tom, mate. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got into some good positions.
Yeah,
I thought it was the lack of composure, wasn't it? There was a couple of times Shipley had the ball at his feet and he only had to play sort of that killer pass through, you know, turn that half chance into a full chance, as I was saying on the live. But our decision-making, not just in the Middlesbrough game, the games beforehand as well, just left a lot to be desired. That's a real sticking point and an issue for me, is our decision-making has got to be better in this championship, because we'll get punished otherwise.
Yeah, I think regarding that, though, Dean, I think that mainly had to do with the formation, because when you've got the ball as a forward player like Shipley and Allen, when you've just got Godden, it's not, you know, it showed the difference on Friday night, didn't it?
Godden more options out of the game.
And if you've got more options around the player, then you've got more options and you look more of an attacking threat, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, another person there, it's easier to play it. Another pass, that extra pass can make all the difference, that's for sure.
Yeah. And talking about that decision-making, we had a decent chance, probably not long before they scored, actually, where Godden cut the ball across to Shipley and their defender was just too quick for him, wasn't he, Dean?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about McFadden's run, though, before.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Big Mo-esque.
What was he doing up there?
I don't know. He had a nosebleed at the end of it. I saw it actually when he played the ball forward. He ran back quickly. It was quite funny to see him run back towards his own
panic of him trying to get back.
Exactly. Yeah. But I was singing the Big Mo song then, trying to put Fads' name to it, but I couldn't really get a rhyme going, so I had to shut up.
We'll have to work on that one, Dean.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's plenty of time, isn't there? So before we get back into the stadium, we can sing it loud and proud. great run. Took three plays out of the game. Really, really nice ball through to Godden, actually. The ball across the box was superb. But Shipley, I've looked at it again. He tries to go with his left foot rather than his right foot. He needs to hook it with his right foot. But what a brilliant tackle as well. Yeah. I mean, you've got to give credit to the defender there as well. Absolutely outstanding tackle. Because it's a surefire goal. There's no two ways about it. It's pretty much an open goal. And Shipley shouldn't miss that, really, being a professional footballer. But yeah, a real, really good chance we had to take the ascendancy in that game. And like we said in the live, Tom, we looked like we were the team that were going to take it by the scruff of the neck and actually take the lead in the game. But alas, it wasn't to be.
No, exactly. And sort of almost the inevitable really happened, didn't it? When we gave the ball away in the middle of the park and then ball over the top, finished off by Asun Belonga. Very disappointing, isn't it, Andy, after getting a bit of a grip in the game to go and concede a goal like that?
Yeah, it was. It was terrible play by Tyler Walker. Tyler Walker. He was just, you know, terrible hold-up play, just lost it too easy. And then it was just one ball that just sent him through, and he scored. It was pulled by Higham as well. He just let him go, didn't he? It was really, yeah. really poor all round from Walker and Higham. And, you know, Brittesson on the scores goals, and you know, he's not going to miss that when he's clean through, is he? So,
no, exactly.
But no, they're desperately disappointing from Walker and Higham for me.
Yeah, just goes to show in the Championship, you know, if you switch off for a second and give the ball away like that, you're going to get punished, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you've got players like Asson Belonga up top. They don't miss opportunities like that, do they?
No, he was never going to miss, was he?
One chance, one goal.
Yeah. Exactly. And then it was a sort of classic breakaway goal, really, for their second. We obviously were committing a fair few men forwards, which would be expected. But yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it, Dean, where they've just broken through and got that second and killed the game, really.
Yeah, and it's three defenders going towards the ball in the middle of the park, which has let us down because McCallum tries to cover Higham tries to cover McFadzean. McCallum tries to cover Higham. They're all charging towards the ball in the middle of the park, and the whole of the right hand side of the pitch is free. But yeah, nothing much you can do about that. Good finish, and you know, it is what it is. When you're chasing a game, I'd rather lose 2-0 than not chase the game at all. So try and get the point back. But yeah, it was just a bit of a sloppy one, wasn't it? It feels to me like it was a game that, you know, we could have took it by the scruff of the neck and come away with at least a point, definitely.
Yeah,
and we've kind of let Middlesbrough into 3 points there, really.
Yeah, because they weren't that great, really, were they, compared to some of the teams we've played this season?
No, definitely not. They're probably, but I them and Barnsley, I would say, have probably been the two worst teams we've played so far this year.
Yeah,
and I fully expect Middlesbrough to be to sort of be lower table. That's for sure. Come the end of the season. So maybe we'll look back at this game as one of those that we could have picked up points from, but you know, overall we didn't, and that's the story, really.
I always thought with the formation and the way he set up the bench that Robbins went a bit deeper, and I think he was trying to obviously keep it tight, keep it 0-0, and was throwing people on like Walker, O'Hare, looking to win it late on. That's how I saw his mindset. I don't know about you two.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's difficult to predict what Robbins is thinking most of the time. There are some questionable choices he makes, rather it being either squad selection or the time he brings his subs on. And I know obviously we've got to back the man because he's the main man in charge. And but yeah, there are questions at times with team selection and substitute times for me. I was a little bit baffled with this team selection. We've been calling for three in the middle of the park for a long time this season. It's been, you know, noted, and it's just a shame that it's taken until Friday night, nine games into the season to work out potentially what our best sort of lineup is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully from now on it'll stick a bit more and we can keep picking up some points. But just despite having a bit of a go in that game, second half, we only had one shot on target, which I think if I remember, it's quite a tame effort from Hammer, wasn't it, from outside the box. Is chance creation something that concerns you, Andy?
If you asked me this question before Friday, I'd say yeah, definitely. No, not now. Not now. We play two up front, and there's Godden's got someone to play off, and you've got some big Max to hold it up and those chess layoffs. No, not at all. But no, if you asked me this question after the Middlesbrough game, I would have said definitely yes. Because Godden was so isolated, wasn't he? He was looked a forlorn, frustrated figure up there, didn't he, again? And he didn't look like he was enjoying his football. So it was good to see him scoring again on Friday and having a smile back on his face.
New system definitely benefited us on Friday.
Oh, big time, yeah, massively. Yeah.
And then just thinking about the man of the match for that game on Tuesday, I'll go to you first, Dean.
Yeah, apart from the sort of mistake he made for the first goal, I thought Dom Higham had a pretty solid game. He's been solid pretty much the whole way through this season so far. So, yeah, I'm probably going to go for Dom Higham.
And you, Andy?
Oh, dear.
Not the many shining lights, let's be honest.
I'd probably say, apart from like Dean Higham, or maybe because he just came back into the side, Hamer. That's it.
Yeah, it was good to have Hamer back in, wasn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. We'll come on to him more about his performance on Friday night, but no, he was great to have him back.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
And then the Sky Blues entertained Reading in front of the Sky cameras on Friday night at St Andrews. We'll go to the stats first, Andy. Did they sort of reflect the 3-2 scoreline that we saw?
Yeah, well, it did. It was a very even game. It comes from the stats from that. We only had 41 possession, but that is to be expected when you play two up top, because obviously yeah. you bypass a few things, bypass the midfield sometimes when you have to go long. So you are going to, when you play that formation, you're not going to have as much possession. So that doesn't worry me so much. We had 14 shots compared to their 15, which is a lot better than three than Tuesday night. And again, my point is we had 378 attempted passes compared to their 537. So they did have a lot more of the ball. And we had 13 interceptions and against their nine. So we defended very well as well. So yeah, there's the stats for that.
Yeah, brilliant. And some bold changes by Robbins going into the match, which I think we probably expected. The sort of much talked about two up top he went for, but opted for Biamu to play alongside Godden, which was interesting. What did you make of that, Dean, and the rest of the team selection?
I definitely didn't expect Biamu to play, no. That's for sure. I thought when Tyler Walker was given a place on the bench on Tuesday night, I pretty much thought, oh, he's nailed on. If we're going to play two up top, he's nailed on to play. But great to see Max back in the fold. And I thought he played really, really well. The first half, he wasn't really particularly into it. Probably just trying to get back into the swing of things, really. Much higher intense level. So, he came into his own second half. He played really well. But it was great to see three in the middle of the park. Yeah. Just, we've been calling for it all season. It's what's going to work for us. It allows us to an extra pass in the middle of the park if we need it. That also allows us to get the wings involved more. So, that was great to see. And Dabo back in the side as well, much needed on that right-hand side. Okay, McCallum's played well there the last couple of games because he knows how to play the position. But having Dabo there, you know, our player of the season last year, just gives us so much more confidence going forward. And defensively as well on that right-hand side.
Yeah, it just gives us a bit more sort of power and stuff down the right, doesn't it?
Definitely. He's a class act, Dabo, and he was breathing hard towards the end of the game, and Robbins obviously took him off, and he acknowledged that at the end of the game he'd have to do that at some point. But yeah, just an incredible talent on that right hand side of the pitch, and I'm so happy to see him back in the fold again.
Yeah, and of course it frees up McCallum then to play on the left if he does want to put him there at some point this season as well. So it's good to have that back as an option as well, I think.
Definitely. You know, Sam McCallum is a really, really top draw player. He's still finding his feet in the Championship. You can see he knows how to play that position well, regardless if he's on the left or the right. He knows what positions he needs to be in, where he needs to be in when we're attacking, where he needs to be in when we're defending and defending as a team. So, it gives us the option now on the left-hand side to bring him into the fold if needed, although it's going to be tough to take out Ryan Giles of this team because he's playing really well too.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sky Blues took the lead in the 23rd minute. It was a fine finish from Hammer, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, just a bit. Hammer's right up my street. He is some player, isn't he? Talking about the goal initially, and I'll get on to Hammer and what he provides. The ball was played down the side by Giles to Shippers, wasn't it? And Shippers played it back to Godden, and Godden really held it up well. And he played the perfect ball into the path of Hamer. But his, you know, to use the pitch because it was wet and the side foot finish into the bottom corner was just ooze class, didn't it? Let's be honest. That just was a quality finish by an absolute quality player. And
I can't say how difficult that sort of finish is. Across your body and putting it into the opposite corner as well. Outstanding. One of the goals of our season so far, for sure.
Yeah, it was absolute Slotville, wasn't it?
Yeah. They're satisfying, those ones, when they go right in the corner, aren't they, Andy?
Very much so, Tom. Yeah,
he
hasn't smacked it either. He's just left.
Nah, he's just placed
it. Pace of the pass.
Yeah,
caressed.
Do all the work. It was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, you don't need to smash it. Ones like that. Just use the pace on the ball and just place it.
Get it in the Tate Modern.
Yeah, great. great industry by Godden as well, wasn't it? Just to lay on a plate for him. It was brilliant work from Matty Godden, and that was. He plays well when other players are around him, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
He's just got a really good footballing brain, Matty.
He has. So, that was finish. And Hamer was quality all game, wasn't he? And he got his traditional booking as well, which we'll probably move on to later.
Yeah, it's always a bit nerve-wracking whether he'll get sent off every game, isn't it?
It is, but don't you just love that kind of devilness in your team? And you have need that kind of maverick kind of player, isn't he? He's just enjoyable to watch, isn't he? He's not boring. He's edge of the seat stuff, and that's what you're paying your money for, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that.
Get used to it because that's his game. That's part of his game. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to get the good and the bad with him, definitely. Mm. And sometimes we'll probably get the ugly too. But, you know, just enjoy it. You know, we've got a really, really good player in the team. Yeah. Let's not hold him back. Okay, Robbins and Vivash will probably rein him in a little bit with his challenges like they did second half. But just enjoy it while he's there because we've got a top-class player in our team and he probably won't be with us for a long period of time.
Didn't he look better though going forward in that midfield three?
It gives him the freedom. He knows there's two players behind and potentially one more joining him too, but it gives him the freedom of the pitch, and it's just lovely to see. And he glides as well. How he glides across the pitch. Beautiful. Yeah. It's like a Picasso painting just spraying it around the pitch. I've got a lot of art on my brain this evening already, I can tell you. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And with us having taken the lead, did you expect a bit more from Reading, Dean? Because they didn't really sort of threaten as much then, did they, until they scored their goal?
I did, especially for the league leaders. But yeah. I mean, to be fair to them, you know, they were missing Swift and Ajaria, who, you know, two of their best sort of attacking and creative players. But I mean, their losses are gain, as they say. And I personally think Reading are in a ridiculously false position. I can't see them challenging for the honours of this season in the Championship. Okay, they might challenge for the playoffs at a stretch, but I think they'll drop down quite quickly in this league as teams are going to find them out.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And they did get their equaliser in the 66th minute. It was a fine finish from that Zhao, wasn't it, Andy? But because we'd been keeping our defensive shape pretty well up until then, but it was just one of those quality finishes that you couldn't do much about, really.
Not really. You know, certain people were questioning Rose, weren't they, that they should have got a tackle in, but that's been extra harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, he's pushing him out and pushing him out. And he's, you know,
if he bags it top bottom corner from there, there's not much you can do about it, is there, to be fair? Come on. Rose pushed him aside as much as he could, and the finish was quality from a person who scored quite a few goals this season, so his confidence is obviously high, and you could tell that by the finish, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. It's just that, like we said, that Championship level finishing that we perhaps didn't see, last season.
We've tried to be a little bit too cute for me there, trying to get the ball out as well. We've obviously confidence is high. We're 1-0 up at this point, and we're pretty much dominating the game. But you know, just clear your lines, get rid of the ball.
Sheep's only mistake, wasn't it, the game?
It probably was, yeah. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of fans have got a tag on his back at the moment, so they'll see that one mistake Sheep has made and go, "Oh, he's shit," you know. Whereas it was the absolute opposite for Ben Sheep on Friday night. He was all over the pitch, mopping up things, you know, putting a challenge in, made some really, really nice passes through lines, which is much needed, that's for sure. Trying to be a bit too cute, just get rid of the ball. That's the only mistake for me. But yeah, Lucas Zhao, international. He's an international player. Great finish. He started the season on fire.
Yeah.
So there's not other than get rid of the ball. There's not much we can do about that goal. Just a lovely finish.
Yeah. And then Biamu had a wonderful chance to take the lead, but he doesn't like tappings, does he, Dean? Didn't fancy it.
Nah, doesn't tap it in from 6 yards. What's the point?
No, it's not
Biamu.
It's
not an overhead kick, and if he hasn't got his blindfold on or something like that, then what's the point in scoring for Max? But yeah, regardless of Max's attributes to and previous finishes, he should score there. He kind of goes up with his wrong foot as well.
Should have gone with a stud, shouldn't he?
Yeah, just put your foot through and just get it past the keeper, and that's all he needed to do. Tried to be a little bit too cute, maybe, to sort of finish it off well, but you know, at least we scored from the resulting corner.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, Gordon sort of fired us into a lead. It was a deflected shot from Dabo. Good effort from Dabo. Their keepers obviously parried it, and it was a proper striker's instinct goal, wasn't it, Andy?
It was, and it was a good short corner, wasn't it? We didn't lump it into the box. It was a great, it was, and it played out to Dabo and his deflected shot, like you said, Tom. And their keeper made a bit of a mess of it. I used to play in goal myself, and if I did that, I wouldn't be too pleased with that, if I'm being honest.
Didn't they call you the cat?
Yeah, I was half decent. Dino, occasionally, yeah, they used to call me that. But yeah, I would, you know, that's got to be pushed out further. But our luck is not theirs, is it? And Matty Godden was sniffing about like he always does, and it's always good to see the plane come out again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it wasn't the best of evenings for their keeper, really, was he? He was struggling. I don't know whether, you know, it was raining and stuff, and he was struggling to get hold of some of our shots, wasn't he?
Like a bar of soap.
Yeah. And obviously, the McCallum goal then, sort of similar situation, really, in that he gets it on the right and obviously cuts onto his left and just absolutely rifles it, doesn't he, at the keeper. Obviously moves a bit and we're suddenly 3-1 up. But yeah, had a fair bit of power behind it, didn't it, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to sort of give the keeper some credit here. The ball went three different ways.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult to keep your eye on it. But yeah, he still gets his body behind it. You know, you're always taught as a keeper, as far as I know, I wasn't a keeper myself, but get your body behind the ball. Regardless of where it's going, just get your body behind it. And he didn't do that. But yeah, it was like the parting of the Red Sea, wasn't it, when we kind of received that ball on the touchline. He had, 15 yards to run into?
Yeah,
the left back just kept going backwards for some reason. There's nobody there. But yeah, what a great strike. And he's got that in his locker, hasn't he, Sam McCallum?
That's
a few times now he's striked a ball with real fizz, as I like to call it. He's a superb finish. Regardless of what the keeper does, forget about that. It's McCallum's shot that makes the goal. So fair play to him.
Yeah, good thing about McCann as well, he can do it on both feet, can't he? So which either side he's playing on, you know he can cut in. I mean, I remember that goal against Wickham, which was down the left, I think, on his right foot. You know, he's good on both feet, so it's good to have that option.
That's why sometimes it's good to have the opposite foot on the opposite wing, because it gives you the option to come inside. You see
attacking
a lot of
point
good
of view,
players that will cut inside onto their right foot or left foot, respectively. So, you know, that's another option we've got. If a team plays with real direct wingers and the left, and like if we go up against a four at the back, for instance, maybe McCallum on the right-hand side will give us the option to come inside a little bit more and fizz a ball sort of back post or whatever. So, you know, a great option to have in the ranks for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then a late sort of consolation in the end for Reading, but the Sky Blues held on for a huge win. Having looked at the table once all the games have been played, it really did look like a massive 3 points, didn't it, Andy, from Friday night?
Yeah, it was massively needed. You could just see by Robin's reaction at full time how much it meant to him. You don't see him that animated normally, do you, after a win? But he was punching the air and he was absolutely loving it, because I think he knew that this result would give the players so much confidence going forward. And he knew that. And that's why he was punching the air and going mad like we all were. So it was really great to see that passion from Robbins as well. It was brilliant. But no, regarding the table, it shot us up the league and it gives us a brilliant platform going forward now. And, really moving on to the Forest game, we can really go into that game with full of confidence, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. And who'd be your man of the match, Andy?
Ben Sheaf.
Yeah.
I thought he was outstanding. Like Dean said earlier, his interceptions were fantastic. The way he played the ball through the lines was great. He just looked very, very classy for me. Bit of a blemish for the goal, but apart from that, he was my man of the match. He was brilliant.
Yeah. Anything different from you, Dean?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the standing skipper, Matty Godden. I thought he was absolutely, how a man at the top end of the pitch needs to play. Superb, ran the channels superbly well. He was everywhere on the pitch. I looked at his heat maps this morning and he popped up at right back. He popped up at left back.
Yeah.
Just bonkers. He just wanted the ball, his hunger, his desire, his fight for the team. We spoke about that last week. There needs to be someone to step up to the plate with that fight and determination. And I think Matty Godden did that for us on Friday night. So, yeah, fantastic from him. And he takes my Man of the Match award.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on and preview the next game for the Sky Blues as they travel to Nottingham Forest on Wednesday night. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Chris, who is a Forest fan, to help us preview the game. Evening, Chris. How are you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Yeah, we're not too bad. We're enjoying life back in the Championship. But
I suppose that's one of the first things I wanted to say, to be honest. It was, you know, it's good to see you guys come up. What did you lose, three games last season until March? So thoroughly deserved promotion. Obviously, I've known Tom since you guys were in the Championship. So through his Twitter rants and retweets and likes and stuff, I've seen what you guys have been through. So yeah, it's good.
Oh, you get annoyed by those too, right?
Oh, mate, they're all over my time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, it's good to be back in the Championship, and I suppose it's been fairly tough so far, but hopefully we're getting to grips with it a bit more now. I was just going to mention sort of how much you're missing the football at the moment. How's it been kind of watching from home? Obviously, it doesn't look like the fans will be coming back anytime soon, sadly.
No, it doesn't at all, with the announcement last night especially. I know at the start of the season in the summer there was talk of fans, well, Forest put out a statement for fans to be back for the Bristol City game. So yeah, it was looking promising, but yeah, that glimmer of hope seems to have faded, to be honest. Well, yeah, in terms of Forest, it's obviously a massive loss of normality. You know, every weekend, you know, you're walking down to the ground, see Trent Bridge, cross Trent Bridge, as you know, Tom, and then you get to the ground. So that's a real shame. But then, in terms of overall football, I think all of us sort of took for granted how much the fans in the stadium actually make a difference. You know, when you watch a team that's just two teams, say like Arsenal and Man United was just on, it doesn't pique the interest as much. It's strange. I think we missed the fans a lot more than anyone thought.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's
I think for Cov fans as well, losing out on a trip to the Nottingham Forest is always a big loss for us, because it's one of those grounds you always mark off at the start of the season, especially in the Championship. You know, it's a local derby for us, isn't it? Really, quite close in the Midlands, and it's a ground we're steeped in history, and a club steeped in history. So it's always one that fans want to go to, and it's always a great atmosphere there. And we've had some great results at Forest too.
Yeah, definitely.
It was going well until that point when you mentioned that. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it was another disappointing result for you chaps on Saturday, wasn't it, Chris? Hasn't been the best of starts for you this season.
Oh, mate. To be honest, it's been awful. You know, when Sabri left, we'd lost all of our games, including the cup game away against Barnsley before the season, well, technically the season started. And we've only scored one goal, which is an absolute worldie by Luke Freeman. So, yeah, it hasn't been ideal. I suppose it's not just losing as well, it's the manner in which we lost. So there was a lack of ideas going forward. We were just being bullied at the back. You know, we played Cardiff live on Sky. And as soon as they had a striker that was over 6 foot tall, he could head the ball, it was always going to be bad news. And within 2 minutes, Kiefer Moore nodded one in from a corner. So sort of all gone wrong, really. Yeah, we get bullied at the back. The midfield just pass it sideways and backwards. And I think, to be honest, the record is carried over from last season. You know, sucking a manager 4 games in sounds a bit strange, but to add that to 3 wins in 20, if you take part of last season, it just makes for awful reading, to be honest.
Yeah, and Chris Hughton was quite a high-profile appointment, wasn't he, Chris? What have you made of him so far? And obviously, he's only had a few games come in, but what have you made of him so far?
Yeah, you know, when he first got appointed, I don't think I've ever seen so many sort of neutrals, non-Forest fans saying what a good appointment appointment is.
Yeah.
You know, we all know his record in this league. He was promoted with Newcastle, with Norwich, Brighton. He got Birmingham when he was there, in and around the playoffs. So on the face of it, it looks like a really good appointment.
Yeah.
To be honest, it started really well. So we played against Blackburn. I'm not too sure if it was the week after you guys played.
Was that 1-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the week before.
Yeah, so I think they played you the week before, and then we played them. And to be honest, I wasn't expecting a lot, especially the way we've been defending. And we managed to keep a clean sheet. We nicked it with a deflected goal in added time. So when you're at the bottom of the league, that always feels amazing.
You take that, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And then we've had a couple of draws since. So we drew against Rotherham. We drew against Derby. We drew against Luton, which obviously on Sky in the week. And then we lost at the weekend. So
yeah.
I think the big thing is, even though sort of the way we're playing hasn't particularly improved that much, we are looking a bit more solid at the back. We're actually picking up points, which is important if you're not playing well, just to try and get some points and momentum on the board, really.
Yeah, it's going to take him time, obviously, to put his beliefs and thoughts and views to the side, isn't it? But obviously, with Forest, and we know how trigger-hacky your owners can be, he'll have to get some results soon, won't he?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, I think it will take time. There's a culmination of things really, which I think's led to this. After lockdown, we were terrible, to be honest. It was almost like we got found out. You know, before that, we were playing defensive football and sort of nicking a goal here and there. But if those things don't drop for grabbing in the box and Lolly doesn't bang one in from like 50 yards. Exactly, yeah. Then, you know, you get found out. And it's amazing when you go to an away ground and you win 1-0 and you've had 30% possession. But, you know, as soon as those things stop dropping for you, it's just, yeah, it's not nice to lose ever. But to lose when you've had 30% of the ball and one shot on target just isn't great, to be honest.
We know the feeling, mate.
We do. Yeah, trust me, we do. One of our summer signings that you'll know well, Tyler Walker. Obviously, he hasn't featured much for us for various reasons, but obviously he's back on the bench for us now. What can we expect from Tyler this season?
Well, to be honest, I think a lot of fans, Forest fans, were shocked when we let him go, especially for the price we did. I think it was, what, 500k?
Yeah.
As soon as it happened, I messaged Tom and I was like, that's going to be a great signing for you. The weird thing is Forest fans haven't really seen him in the first team that much. You know, he's always been in and around the first team for a few years now. I think Dougie Freeman introduced him and he scored away at Brentford. Brilliant goal. And we all had high hopes for him. And then he's been out on loan. And to be honest, he scored goals wherever he's been. So whether that was in Mansfield in League Two, I think he got over 20 maybe. And then he was at Lincoln last year and scored 16 before we recalled him. So coming into the second half of the season with him as sort of a backup option to grab and look perfect, to be honest. It looked like he'd come off the goal. He was high in confidence. You know, he was keeping up with Ivan Toney in the League One scoring leagues. But he scored one goal against Leeds and only played six or seven times. So he never really got the game time.
I always got that impression, Chris, that he was never given a proper opportunity.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, we were looking for a striker in January because you can't rely on Lewis Grabban as much as, you know, he scored 20 goals last season, which is first player to do so since, David Johnson's and Marlon Hurwitz. But
that's a blast from the past, isn't it?
There you go. Yeah. That's what we do as Forest fans. But
I think you're putting Pierre Van Hooydonk out next.
1997, what a year. He never got the chance. You know, it was good to have him as backup, but then it seemed like we bought him in as backup and he never backed up. He was just on the bench. He was there. He came on against Leeds, like I said, and scored in the last minute. But I think if he starts every week and he goes to a club where he's loved, which I think he will be at Cov, I've seen again from Tom's likes and retweets that you guys really look after young players and care for them. And I think if he gets the service, he'll do really well.
Good to hear, mate.
Obviously, that was an outgoing for Forest. But what do you make to some of the incomings at Forest then this season? There's been quite a few high-profile names been brought into the fold, and some of them obviously were under the old manager. But what do you think overall to the business you've made?
It wasn't ideal, I guess, that we gave the old manager the whole of the summer and then brought in Chris Hughton. So it's a bit, you know, he's not using his players, as it were. But I suppose with Sabri going so early, Chris Hughton was bought in while the transfer window is still open, which is obviously a positive. He brought in Knockhart, he had him at Brighton and sort of worked wonders with him. He played really well at Brighton, so hopefully that's going to be positive now that they're back together. And he also tried to bring in Kamil Grzycki, but the paperwork was registered 21 seconds too late, so he's not coming in. But I think it shows where we're still lacking, which sounds like a weird one because the summer transfer window was excessive. You know, we've signed 14, 15 players. Myself included, a lot of Forest fans, we thought that we'd probably, you know, having gone so close last season, probably four or five quality additions would do it. So the club's really gone for it. As much as, you know, people can be negative about the owner, you can't say that he hasn't put his money behind it. A big problem for us last season was that our starting 11 was really strong, but as soon as that changed and a few fringe players came in, we just weren't good enough. So I think that sort of addressed that. As weird as it seems as well, even though we brought in 14, 15 players, there can be seen to be a reason for bringing many of them in. You know, we brought in Lyle Taylor, that's backup for Grabban, like I mentioned, especially if we've let Tyler Walker go. Luke Freeman came in, who knows his league well. He's, you know, he's brilliant at QPR, went to Sheffield United, didn't quite work. So he's come in as a number 10, again, another good signing on paper, I guess. Cyrus Christie came in, you know, he got promoted with Fulham last year, but Matty Cash was sold. So you can say, you know, we needed a new right back. Scott McKenna's come in, you know, Dawson's not getting any younger. No, how much of a legend he is. He's not even making matchday squads anymore. So it was important to bring in another centre half, in my opinion. And he's been great since he's been in. You know, that's one of my players to watch out for on Wednesday night. We brought in Knockhart, we brought in Harry Arter. So if you look at those names, they're really good, solid championship players. So it just needs to gel now. When you bring in 15 players, that is a lot of players. So hopefully they start gelling soon. And yeah, we can start picking up some points.
Yeah, like you said, it's very hard to bed in so many different players. You know, it's okay having all these names and sort of championship quality names, but putting them all in a side all at once is very difficult to sort of get anything from, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the strange thing, really. I mean, if we look at Forest recruitment over the last years, I read a stat the other day that said we've bought in 70 players since 2017. Like that in my opinion, is just not feasible. You know, it's great the fact that our academy, you know, we sell Arvin Apaya for 8 million and Ben Brereton to Blackburn for 7 and Cash to Villa for 14. But part of you thinks that we wouldn't have to do that unless we, you know, if we didn't bring in 70 players in the past 3 years, you know, with agents' fees and wages. And every season it seems like we have four or five players like Albert Adoma this year, Joao Carvalho. Even Gaetan Bong, who did come back in at the weekend, they were training with the 23s under Sabri. So it feels like every season we have four or five players who don't get a look in, who are sort of almost sat there, really, because they're on a good wage at Forest and they're not going to leave. So it's difficult when you have such a high turnover of players every season.
So what about Forest's style of play then? Because obviously the history of Forest is that sort of free-flowing attacking football. But obviously at the moment you don't seem to be picking up much results, shall we say. No. So what can we expect from Forest going forward, especially for the game on Wednesday?
Well, that's the thing. So you say free-flowing attacking football. Get ready for none of that on Wednesday, mate.
Well, that's good news for us, at least.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll take that.
So, yeah, it's carried on from last season. So we play 4-2-3-1. But the difficulty is, from what I can see, we don't really have a style of play, if that makes sense. There's no triangles. You know, we don't pass around teams like Fulham or Brentford did last year. And, you know, there's no big man on top, up top, like Kiefer Moore or at Cardiff or Jukovic at Birmingham. You know, we don't get it wide and whip it in and all that kind of stuff. But we're a very passive team, if that makes sense. Again, probably carries on from last season. We like to not have the ball and sort of play counter-attacking defensively. Which sort of worked last season. Like I mentioned, Graben got 20 goals and Lolly and Amiobi were really good down the wings. And, you know, we did shithouse a lot of results, I'm not going to lie. Watching these last few games, we do press higher up the pitch. So previously under Sabri, we'd probably sit on the halfway line and let teams come on to us. But it seems like we are pressing higher up the pitch, which is something that I'm all for, to be honest. When we do get the ball, especially at the back in midfield, it's a lot of sideways passing and backwards passing. We don't particularly have a midfielder who passes it in between the lines, to sort of use that phrase. So we have Yates and Cole back in there and they'll just pass it sideways. And yeah, it's not great viewing, to be perfectly honest. And then eventually our centre-halves come under a lot of pressure from the opposition striker and we hoof it long and it comes straight back at us. So in terms of a style of play, yeah, I suppose I could probably phrase it as counter-attacking football, which is a shame, you know, because like you mentioned, as you introduced this question, it would be good to see us get on the ball a lot more. I don't think we really play, I haven't seen us play for a long time, getting on the ball. And, you know, you come away from the City Ground in an away game and think, you know, we deserve that. We played well today. We played them off the park, which is, yeah, like I said, a real shame.
And who are some of the key players that you've got that you think we should be looking out for on Wednesday? Who are the danger men?
The danger men, I suppose the first one you probably mentioned is Knockhart. So
yeah, I was thinking Knockhart would be a bit of a handful.
Yeah, so in his debut against Derby, we were poor in the first half and he came on at half time and he just looked to add some urgency. He looked to add some pace. He looked to be trying, getting the ball, demanding the ball and running at people. You know, no defenders like any player who runs at them, especially with pace. That in the Championship especially, pace is pivotal. And so hopefully, yes, he can do a few. He tries something a bit different. You know, we bought him in for a reason. We bought him in because we weren't good enough going forward and creative enough. So hopefully he can bring some of that on Wednesday. Lolly, the same on the other side, like we've already mentioned. Hopefully Harry Arter. So Harry Arter's not been fit for the last few games, but hopefully he comes back in because he adds a bit of aggression, which I think we've been missing. Again, he demands the ball. He tries to get on the ball and, you know, dictate play and look for those passes that we're, you know, potentially missing out on because we do look backwards and sideways quite a lot. So hopefully he can spread it out wide. McKenna I mentioned earlier. So, you know, you wouldn't really think of mentioning a centre-half, but I think he's been brilliant since he's come in. He really has. He, you know, we got bullied early doors and now we've got a six-foot-something centre-half who just wants to put his head on it and kick through the ball and get it out of the box, which is perfect for the way we started the season. And I'm going to throw in there our goalkeeper, which is probably good for you guys. But Bree Samba, you know, he was amazing. He was a revelation last year. He came in and not many people, you know, people were saying we didn't need another goalkeeper, but I think he made team of the season, the Sky Sports team of the season. It was between him and the Fulham goalkeeper. And in the last three games, he's saved one-on-ones. So he saved against Asamba Longa on Saturday. He saved against Shinny against Derby, and then he saved a one-on-one against Luton as well. So it sounds a bit strange, but I think he's really, really important player for us.
Yeah. And on a sort of final point, really, I'm just going to get some score predictions. So I'll go to you first, Chris, and then we can ask the others what they think.
Oh, go on there. Let's be positive. 1-0. 1-0. 1-0 Forest.
Dean?
Yeah, it's going to be a scrappy one, I feel. I think the key battle is going to be in the middle of the park. If Arter's back, then Arter versus Amer is going to be absolute fireworks.
Interesting, so that one, yeah.
Looking forward to that if that happens. But yeah, it's going to be a scrappy one. I'm also going to go with 1-0, but obviously away win.
And Andy, what do you reckon?
I think this one will be, I think, like you say, I think it will be scrappy. I think there won't be much in it between the two sides. Hopefully we can, you know, put a platform on what we did on Friday night. But I think it will be a score draw, 1-1.
Nice one. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us on the show. It's brilliant to get your perspective on Forest. Wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season, apart from Wednesday, of course.
Cheers, guys. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
With the Championship fixture list being as busy as ever, we travel to Watford on Saturday. Looks like another tough game, this one, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it does, but they're all tough, aren't they? Especially away from home. It doesn't get any easier, does it, Tom? Watford are, what, sixth in the league, just in the playoffs. And but the last few games, they've lost. Well, they lost to Barnsley at the weekend, which is a terrible result. And they drew with Wickham and drew with Bournemouth. So, you know, the last three games, they drew two and lost one. So they're not in particularly good form, are they? So, you know, and after what we did on Friday night, we can go there with full of confidence as long as we get a result on Wednesday, as long as we don't get beat.
Yeah, definitely anything's possible. And Dean, what do we know about Watford? Did they, in terms of their summer signings and I guess a bit about their sort of style of play?
Yeah, I mean, guys, we need to be under no illusion how tough and how difficult this game is going to be. You know, they're a side down from the Premier League and they've pretty much kept the same nucleus of the team apart from a couple of outgoings. So we've got to be under no illusions how difficult this game's going to be. I mean, you look at the sort of their players and they've got the likes of Ismail Sarr, who was touted to go to United for 30 million in the summer. Mm. So that's the golfing class that we're up against. Not only in this Watford team, but in this division too. And like Andy said, like they haven't really taken to life in the Championship all that well. Most people at the start of the season, pundits, fans, etc., pretty much had Watford as runaway winners of this league. And at the moment, it's so batshit crazy, anything can happen. So, you know, it's a game where we could perhaps cause a little bit of an upset. Like in the same mould as Reading on Friday night, nobody really gave us a chance to win that match. So who's to say we can't tame Watford in this game? But it will be difficult, that's for sure. They're obviously a very attacking team. They play on the wings a lot. They create a lot of chances from the wings. But one thing that stands out for me, they're not scoring a lot of goals. You know, they've only scored more than one goal on one occasion this season. Everything else has been scrappy 1-0 wins or 1-1 draws or 0-0. So, you know, they create chances, but they're not finishing them, shall we say. So we've got to be wary of that. Can we keep their chances down to a minimum? Because at the moment, the chances created and the goal scored is not clicking for them. So that's something we've got to take advantage of if we can. But who's to say they weren't going to score six goals on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whenever Watford are playing. So it will be a tough game. There's no doubt about it. They play with a three at the back system, very compact midfield. So we've got to go in there with three in the middle again. Hopefully now Robbins has seen us play on Friday night in that way, and he saw that it can suit our style of play a little bit more in this division. Hopefully we'll continue in that vein. But yeah, this is going to be a tough game, and it all depends what happens on Wednesday night versus Forest too. Are we going to be going in with our heads down or heads held high? It's very difficult to call a game when we've got one in the middle, really.
Yeah, definitely. And they, I think they host Stoke on Wednesday, Watford do. So, interesting game for them on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a tough game. Stoke are looking much better this season. They've got a really, really good squad. A squad that's built to sort of get out of the Championship, really, with a host of decent names in that Stoke team. So, that'll be a tough game for them. So, you know, hopefully Stoke can do us a favour and you know, then what? Can't remember words out. Dent Watford's confidence. It's a bit of a tongue tie, that.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So yeah, hopefully they can dent their confidence and they'll be coming in with their heads down on Saturday, and we can take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned there sort of hopefully keeping the same system that, you know, obviously pending what happens on Wednesday against Forest. But Andy, what are your thoughts on the side that Robbins will put out? Do you think he'll sort of stick to what worked really well on Friday?
I hope so, Tom. Yeah. It depends. It's always hard to talk about a game when there's a midweek game, isn't there? It's really difficult. But hopefully, maybe, you know, if he probably plays the same team, I can't see him changing much to what he does on Wednesday. So maybe Kelly might come in, maybe give one of the midfielders a rest, you know, against Watford away. But until we know really what happens Wednesday, it's a bit of a hard one to say, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And as always, I'll take a score prediction from both of you. So I'll go to you first, Dean.
Yeah, I'm going to start the hashtag unleash Tyler Walker for Friday night, because I think this is the game. It's the perfect game for him. His pace and trickery is going to cause the Watford back three, a very aging Watford back three, I might add, or cause all sorts of problems. So, yeah, I'm going to be really positive and think we're going to win this game 2-1.
Ooh, that'll do, wouldn't it?
I'll take that all day long.
Yeah.
Stick and Mystic Dean says, stick your money on that.
Yeah. Andy?
I think this one will be more difficult. I think with a good point at the City Ground, I think we're just going to narrowly lose this 1-0 to Watford. Sorry, lads.
No, it's the positivity. It's just gone right.
I'm just trying to be realist, that's all. But, you know, yeah. I'd love to be your positivity, Dino. You know that. You are brushing up on me, but not 100% yet.
Well, hopefully I'll brush up on everybody else, because the doom and gloomers have certainly gone quiet the last week, which is brilliant to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks very much for your contribution, as always, chaps. And listeners, do check out our partner Shortland Horn for the latest properties across Coventry. And as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation on any of our social media channels, just use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.